So just so that everyone listening here knows, the way we have the Zoom set up is I can't see what you're texting or if anyone's trying to ask questions to get access to that WhatsApp group. And we can, ask, you ask your questions or you can PM me privately.
917-626-8306.
We're going to put a pin in that conversation because I think it's important that we're not there here, but I think it's important. So I'm going to jump into this. And I had some thoughts based on some of our conversations yesterday.
Okay.
So we didn't get into any juice yet because our trusty Harusa here, we had an interesting conversation, but we'll get to a different time. Right now, let's just jump into it. So reminder, anyone who has any particular questions, it's best to get on the WhatsApp, send me voice notes. I'll get to you throughout the day. Also, as always, if anyone is struggling with addiction in these areas of Pagama Bris, if there's any kind of sexual addiction of any kind, or you feel that you're dealing with an addiction, please seek professional help. If you need help getting referral, please reach out to me and I will refer you. This shir also is Le'el Nishmas, my father, Yitzchak Kadosh Ben Chana. Before jumping directly in, but just to let everyone know where the place is, I think we're on page Ches, and we're up to Beis, paragraph that starts with Beis. We yesterday and the day before got into a really intense conversation about the standard, right? The standard of where, and it's very easy, and this is an example of how easy it is to fall into despair, into total yush. Because it's like, well, the Gemara says that even for 1 second, if your hand moves below your belly button, that you could be considered a Rasha. Or if you walk by where the women are doing the washing, you can be considered a Rasha. And our approach yesterday was like, it's important to understand the standard. And there was someone that was kind of grilling me yesterday about this. And it's like, it's just so hard. It's painful. And I said, and I think it's important for all of us to understand this, that like, I can't in good conscience tell you that don't worry, everything's fine. I can't do that. Because I would be lying. But at the same time, right, there has to be an understanding of like where people are at. So I think what the Siva Shalom is doing is showing you the standard, how high it can go. And then also this next piece is going to bring us down to reality to like understand where we're at. He's not going to hold back, but he's going to give us perspective. And for us to know also, it's like this is the fight. This is the fight. And this maybe alludes a little bit to your question earlier. Like all desire in the world, all is wrapped up in this somehow, some way. Like the desire for eating, I know it's brought down by the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. There's the one of the Yisurim is eating Eiver Min HaChai. So I saw someone say that Eiver Min HaChai is connected to sexual averus. And that there's something about a lust for eating, right, that some people have that's connected to lust for Pagam Bris, for things that relate to that. I never fully understand it, but like over time, like just like learning what the Sfarim say. And then also, I've looked into like, other philosophies, things like that. Maybe not necessarily recommended for everyone to do, but I got psak from my Rebbe that I could learn it. They also talk a lot about the positive ones, not the destructive philosophy. So the positive ones that are out there, they're Chachma Tamen, there's Chachma in the game. They also talk about the concept of desire and the extreme importance of eradicating desire. This was actually not to really go off subject. But when we talk about Chochmah Yevanis, that was so destructive, right? That completely overtook Klal Yisrael. It's actually from a historical context. There were multiple Greek philosophies. One of them, notoriously, was named Epicureanism, and one of them is very famously known as Stoicism. I don't want to go too deeply into this, but essentially Stoicism says that you need to get rid, you have to live a life of virtue and you have to get rid of vice, right? And it talks about vice, and its number one thing is desire. Like, You could want things, but you have to keep it on the level of a preference. So if I have it, that's nice. It's great. We appreciate comfortable AC or comfortable heat, right? But if we don't have it, we can't start getting depressed and upset and stressed out and throwing things. That's an example of that, right? The preference, but desire itself is destructive. There's another philosophy called Epicureanism. Maybe there are people on the group here that understand Epicureanism, have read it. I used to get into fights with people about this all the time.
Of course.
So there's a big debate about this, but the word Epicurus in the Gemara may or may not be a way of describing these particular Greek philosophers, Epicureanism, because the Rambam has a different shot of what Epicurus means. And it's not necessarily clear that there is a connection, but then when you learn a little bit of that philosophy, the connection becomes very clear. Also, Stoicism and Epicureanism were like the biggest philosophies of the day. So to say that the Tanaim and Amoraim didn't know what Epicureanism was or Stoicism would be saying that they were idiots at Chas v'Shalom. They knew what was going on in the world. They were not just geniuses, meaning smart on them. They were very worldly and understanding of the world as well, so that they could lead and teach the way they need to. So Epicureanism's whole key focus is pleasure. And I once got into a big fight with someone who was like very into like Greek philosophy. And he's like, well, Epicureanism doesn't mean just any pleasure. It's a very sophisticated level. And it's like, real pleasure means not taking pleasure in like, immediate pleasures, but like looking for long-term pleasure. There's a whole tire. And the Epicureans do believe this, that they're trying to rise above physical pleasures to get the real pleasure of wisdom and knowledge and all of that. So I call bunk on all of that, because your core nuclear reactor driving force is pleasure. So you give me a whole shtickle tire about, no, I want intellectual pleasure. I want meaningful pleasure. I want this otherworldly pleasure. And it's complete naivete, because just historically, Epicureanism, there were maybe a few people that took it seriously, but they generally all kind of devolved into pleasure-seeking people. And as a proof to this, one of the leading Stoic philosophers in Rome, named Epictetus, he actually wrote a whole discourse just lambasting these Epicureans on this point, saying, "So I don't take it from me. Take it from the people that lived in the town in the time that you say that you're into this higher level of pleasure, but none of you are getting married, none of you are starting families, none of you are taking life seriously. You're all involved in all these like personal like vendettas and dramas and all this kind of stuff. So don't give me a whole long story. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but not by that much." And essentially, the destructive Greek philosophy that made Misyavnim, that made the Yidden fall to pieces, was this Epicureanism. And there's some historical basis to that. And under Antiochus, who was like a lot of these the kings, emperors, rulers of these areas would have these philosophers in their court. And depending on the temperament of the ruler, the type of philosopher, that's the kind of philosopher that they would have. And of course, it is brought down. I spoke with actually a philosophy professor here in our shul that we talked a little bit about it. Yes. We talked a little about it. And he's like, there's definitely, it is 100% clear that Antiochus the Fourth, which is the one who caused all the drama, was very into this Epicurean philosophy. Now, with this whole long arichus, I'm sorry, I went a little bit off. There is Epicureanism is just a symptom of the issue, where desire, and then sexual desire being the pinnacle of desire, because it's the most expressive of what we describe as desire. For these people, were like it was the highest height of philosophy, and with all their lives and everything, it always devolved into just hedonism and just selfishness and depravity. And honestly, you could say the same thing today. You look around you, what's the philosophy today? Right? They might not call it Epicureanism, but it's definitely hedonism. And sexuality is right at the top. So with all that said, and understanding that, yes, yesterday we got intense and we got to this like really high level. We like laid out this very super sophisticated, intense high level of like removing yourself. Don't want to even be called to Russia for 1 second. We have to like bring it back to reality. We're all human beings. So how do we process this?
Good. So, but the Stoicism and the Epicureanism seems like two opposites.
Yes, they were rival schools of philosophy. Because Stoicism tried to teach non-Jews, it was a Goyish philosophy, but it was trying to teach virtue, which is a positive thing. And there's a lot of positive things. There's a lot of overlap in the ideas that the Stoic had and how Jewish Hashkafa has. There's a lot of failings in Stoicism because it doesn't take you all the way where you need to go, where Yiddishkeit takes you all the way to Kaviyachol, the throne of Hashem, throne of Hashem. But at the same time, at least there was something like that out there. And it's very interesting. You have in the world now, there's like a resurgence of Stoicism because people realize like religion's in the tank. Is down the tubes, so we need something. So at least there's Stoicism. Some people are very into Stoicism today. That's why I started looking into it, and I asked my Rebbe if I could learn this stuff. So he gave me Psak. But my point is to say that this is not just a Jewish fight and a Jewish battle, but what is Jewish is that our neshamas, which are unique neshamas, they are in a lot of ways more greatly affected. But not that non-Jewish neshamas aren't affected, chas v'shalom. But because of our particular role and the nature of the chelik of the kamimal that we have, there's a certain sensitivity that is much more affected when we're doing things that we aren't. So, but let's all be real for a minute, and let's start with Beis. Ha'adam b'imei ha'ne'urim, a person in his youth who b'mlai resichas damai, he is filled with a boiling blood. His blood's boiling. And he's filled with desire and yearnings that are not good. The eye sees and the heart desires. And just, I know I kind of rambled a little bit, but I just wanted to give some kind of foundation because we need to pull ourselves down from yesterday's maybe intensity into reality. The Nesiv HaShalom here is not ignorant of real people. We all have this drive, and especially in our generation.
It stops at the Krishna because it says, the heart comes first.
Right, interesting.
It says the eye.
Right, so I think there's Torah on that. I'm like remembering something in the back of my mind, but I don't want to say because I'm not clear on it. But I think there's Torah on that. So let me look into it a little bit. I'm going to ask somebody. But what's interesting today, I actually, because I read an article recently about this concept where the phone companies, like social media companies, Apple, Android, and also the pornography industry, they all figured out that everything about desire is only up in your head. It's all there. It lives there. So instead, like in the old days where you had to like really seek out like another human being to engage in an illicit act and, or even the act with yourself had to be done like it's. So the technology today has all been geared to just let you live here. And if you see it, kahava, like people who are stuck in this world of Pagan Bris, they. It's you're like I think if we could take perspective for a second, right? It's you're using a screen. It's a piece of glass with light diodes on the other end or whatever it's made of on the other side, just shooting different color lights at your eyes. That's all it is. And in your head, there's a whole fantasy world of like, whatever Yetzirah is out there. But it's all fake. It's completely fake.
Right.
It's completely and utterly fake. And they all realized how to manipulate you and how to attach everything to instead of having like you don't need anything. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to search out and like hunt, to do something bad. It's a piece of glass and plastic with a battery and connection to the internet, and you are off to the races. So it's just a very fascinating thing. They've figured out how to hijack all the layers, all the barriers that would normally prevent a person from getting into a bad situation, they figure out how to remove all of that and just like whoop, pull you right in immediately. We're going to talk about actually movies in a second. So Jumanji is a very interesting
fits
example.
right into the set.
Right. So Jumanji is like a cool mushroom for this. You know what? Let me give me a second. I'm gonna actually. I was planning on talking about movies in the next little bit section. If we get to it tonight, then you're in for a treat, guys. And like a process of watching movies. And I'm not recommending to watch movies, but for those of us who have as chatoni maskir, we've watched movies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this situation where we watched movies. We may have made a bad decision, but we ended up there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there with us. That's how this works. And how do we process that? So that's a question to deal with, and I'm going to get there. But for now, let's just talk about we're human beings, and human beings, we get attracted to bad things. Ein rov alev chaim, our eyes sees and our heart desires, and mali she'ifas v'soyev mechus hasipuk chaim. And we're full of all these desires that have no sipuk chaim. They're just just empty and shallow, and just like. The more we run after it, the less good we feel about ourselves, right? His gabrus koyach hamidama and the koyach hamidama, the power of our imagination, which is also a nickname of the Yetzer Hara. The nickname of the Yetzer Hara is the koyach hadimyon, right? Because all avera is in here. It doesn't exist. Everything else is just the hechatimsa. It's the MacGuffin, as they say. Right, when you have like a story, right? The story about between good and bad, and the hero has to go find the Holy Grail, right? Talking about movies, right? Has to find the Holy Grail, right? The Holy Grail doesn't mean anything. It's just a tool used to get you moving, get the hero moving through the story, right? So that's all like the end result, right? Like the actual like satisfaction of the desire the Yetzer Hara is telling you. Is all fake. It's just in your head. It's just the plot device that the Yetzer is using to get you to go down this dark path. And you are always you find yourself always within the battle, within the fight. That if you even just are mesiach das for a second, if you just or like you let yourself stop thinking about it for 1 second, you'll fall right into his rishus. It's like, I want a break today. I want a break today. I'm a good guy. I'm going to Shacharis. I'm learning. I'm going to Shovivim Shir. I went for the first 3 nights, Bertzifis, and I'm into it. And Adam is riling me up. Or maybe I'm getting even messages. Adam is not riling me up enough. And we're not going on this long enough, which is, I'm fine with that. We will find. We're going to get into some juicy stuff here, but then on the fourth day tonight, it's like I don't know. Like I'm a little tired, a little tired. I'm not going to focus. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow, but I'm a little tired right now. I'll take a break. Yitzhar loves that. He loves that. He loves fired up people who give up. See, the guy who gave up, has already given up and is just dead and numb. Yitzhar doesn't care about that guy because he already did the job. He's done. He's done. He's used up, right? Whatever energies Yitzhar was trying to take from him is gone. It's over. He likes the guy that's like in the fight because his blood's pumping. There's energy happening. He's doing mitzvahs. And again, all the Koyach HaTumah have to feed off of something, and they all feed off of Kedusha somehow. So they love to feed off of a juicy guy. But it only works if they're Mesiach Das. And that's why we're constantly in this limbo. We're in war. Guys, it's war out there. It is a battle to the death. And that's the perspective we're going to talk about a little bit later. But it's a battle to the death. And the tikkun gomer, the way to fix this, for all these bad koiches that are in a person, according to Chassidus, who, Adavram, that we see in the Pasuk in Shmos in this week's Pasha coming up. Ki mimenu nikach lavoid es Hashem. And there's a very important mashal here. I'm running out of time, but maybe we'll go over because I had a longer preamble. For those of you who wanted me to go longer, maybe I'll go a few minutes longer for you guys. Got to do it. I got to do it for you guys because you guys are committed. You guys here on the Zoom, you'll be here in the group. So in this pasuk, we say ki mimenu nikach lavoid es Hashem. Ki ain ra yorin. Okay. Oh wait, 1 second. That's a pasuk in Shmos. And that's when Pare is getting a little stressed out with Demachus. And he's like, Moshe, you can just like go for a few days. Remember that story? Go for a few days, take just some of the cattle you need to do your shechting and your stuff, and then come back. And then come back and like you get it out of your system. Get the do that Jewish thing, do your gap year in Eretz Yisrael, and then come back and go to college. Sorry, guys. College is wonderful, unless it's not. If I'm riffing too hard, then please someone stop me. Let Jake know that stop me. But that's what Parah is saying. It's like do the Jewish thing for a little bit. Go to shul on Shabbos, but during the week you're mine, right? During the week you're my slave, right? You can do your Jewish stuff. That's what the Greeks also, the Yavanim did this. The Yavanim were like, don't stop learning Torah. Don't stop learning Torah, but don't keep Shabbos.
Even when you learn kosher Latin.
Well, so I think it depends how you learn it, but they were into just like learning it as like intellectual stimulation, right? But like don't keep Shabbos, don't keep Birchas HaChodesh, right? Don't do Mila, because those things set you apart. Those things make you different than everybody else, right? Just like be a learned man, wear your tweed jacket, smoke your little pipe with your glasses. Quote all Shas Poskim if you want. Quote it. Know it off the back of your head. But to actually let it affect you in any way, no. Do your Jewish thing. But that's what Pyro was saying. That's Pyro was saying. And what does Moshe say? Ki mimenu nikach lavid es Hashem. He says we're taking everything, right? The full pasuk is he. We're going to take everything, and we're not even going to leave a hoof of an animal left over. Why? Because from all of the things that we bring with us, we'll take from it what we need to serve Hashem. So the Siv Hashem is saying something so beautiful here. What's pshat? What's a deeper pshat? It's not just a practical, like, you know what I mean? Like, make sure to be prepared. Like, they say in the Boy Scouts, like, better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it, which is maybe good advice, right? But could be a little bit crazy because you don't want to take everything. Right, but when it comes to this, like, what's the deeper avodah over here? That ki ein ra yerid min hashamayim. There's no such thing as bad that comes directly from Hashem. The chol tchunas hanefesh and all the emotions and drives of our nefesh, of Adam that are in a person, biyadoi lehaloisam. It's in the person's hand to raise up lemakar hatoiv v'hakedusha, to the source of toiv and kedusha. Even these disgusting, depraved things, they all like are downstream, a lot of filtered downstream from a source of Kedusha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof, and everything that we know that exists comes from Hashem. So everything had a source in Kedusha, even things that were bad. So it's our job to lift it back up to that place. And Kol Tavaisav, Uchukaisav, V'yahavara, all the desires and the yearnings and the evil, bad loves that we think we have, sheyesh b'yalu l'sharshal havas, all of these can bring us back to ahavas yisbarach, Hashem yisbarach. V'yis'ala al yideizeh oy yaser, and through those bad things, you could even rise higher. It's a very important Hasidish concept that comes out in Hasidus that. Yes, we need to stay away from bad things, and we shouldn't do bad things. And that's what we talked about yesterday and the day before. Like, just high level, don't be called. Let yourself be called a Russia, but we have to be realistic. We're all human beings, and the fact that it exists means Hashem. It's not really now to go into how this works, but Hashem kind of wants it. Hashem kind of wants it to exist, and maybe even wants certain people to go through a journey where they fall and then they rise up again, and they bring out holiness that could not exist otherwise. That's why we have the famous line, right? Makim she bali tshuva oimdim ein atzadikim gemurim yachalama. That there's something about being a bal tshuva that's on a higher level, because one of those things is that you're going into this world and lifting up. And this is my discussion about movies. Maybe we'll dive into it right now. We're not supposed to watch movies. I remember had a Rebbe in yeshiva. Movies is maves. Movies is death. Is Maves, and he's probably right. He's probably right. It's a waste of time. All the time wasted. Hashem Yirachem. All the time I've wasted in my life watching movies. But because everything's from Hashem, there has to be a way to lift it out. There has to be a way to lift up. So here we're now, yes, we know we should be, we know where the standard needs to be. We know where the bar is. But together, we guys, whoever's watching, we're going to lift up all our affairs. And we're going to start with movies. And Chas v'Shalom, I don't think anyone here watching ever watched a movie. I'm just talking about myself. I'm talking about myself. But if you know somebody who watched the movie, you maybe can give them this kavana to work on yourself. But movies at its very, very core is essentially very complex, sophisticated mashalom at the end of the day. And the better the movie is, the better it is mimicking a certain point about life. And obviously it's not perfect, and they're usually like a twisted version of some kind of truth. But they're basically zeroing in on like certain key features of life, and they're magnifying it, and you can use it as a mashal to either follow the lesson that movie's teaching or not follow. Most times, probably not follow the lesson movies are teaching. And again, it's not a recommendation to go watch movies now so you can learn up the movies. But with all the hours of time just swishing around your noggin, all the wasted time. Let's try to dip into that swamp and try to at least make something out of it. Like, they have like recycling where like they take garbage, like plastic bottles and garbage bags, and then they like clean it, and then like they can make like mats out of it, and they can make different like art pieces out of it. That's what we have to do with the garbage in our head. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. Everything can be lifted up. Like Moshe was saying, we're taking everything. What is Moshe saying? We're taking everything. We're not even leaving a hoof behind. We're taking the Avodah Zarah, and we know that we took the Avodah Zarah because the Malachim by the Yamsuf wanted us to die because we had Avodah Zarah, right? Hey, Moav the Avodah Zarah. Hey, Moav the Avodah Zarah. Like, why should we save Klal Yisrael? So, but Moshe and this pasuk is saying we're tapare. We're taking your Avodah Zarah, and we're gonna rip that. We're gonna shred that thing up to its basic elements, and we're gonna take out the good, and we're just gonna leave the garbage in the trash. We're gonna leave it strewn in the desert. By the time we get to Eretz Yisrael, we're just gonna have beautiful gems that we carved out of the garbage that you left with us, but we're taking it with us. We're taking that with us. And we're gonna bring it higher. Ah, however, mi yala bahar Hashem, who is going to rise up, like the pasuk says. Miyala Bahar Hashem, who's gonna rise, go up the mountain of Hashem, Lahasig Madrega Zu, to reach that Madrega, Hashaykh is Levinei Aliyah, right? That we're able to reach, right? For Bnei Aliyah. How are we gonna do this? Umayasu Elu, Shabitzara and what else are we gonna do with on the other side that this Yetzirah Shalai, that this person Yetzirah is Gaber, he's constantly strengthening himself, Mischadish B'chol Yom, and he's renewing himself every single day. He never rests. He is never quiet. Ad ki koshel koyach halchima, until the warrior strength weakens. Like, how are we going to do that? There's a famous joke. I can't remember who said this. Was it Yankel Miller, a famous Chassidish comedian? I think it was Yankel Miller. And if anyone is Yankel Miller, good for you. Points for you. But he's a guy wakes up in the morning and he needs to get out of bed. And the Yetzirah says, "Nu, Yanko, get up. Let's go. Time to get up. Get to Shacharis. We're going to go learn. We're going to go to Shacharis." And then the Yetzirah is like, "No, it's so cold and you're tired and just stay in bed. It's going to be fine." And then the Yetzirah is fighting and my Yetzirah is fighting and they're just fighting. And until I said, "Listen, guys, if you're going to fight, can you please take this outside? I'm trying to sleep here." Right? Right, the Yetzirah does not stop for a second. Right, Umitzat Cheney on the other side, Hashi'ifa Lichboish. Right, there's this desire to conquer the entire world. V'chein Koyach Hamadamash Hashem Yizbarach, Hidbi Ba'adim B'meinu Urim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this Koyach inside of us, right, when we were young, that we're boiling and it's just burning within us. And if we go onto the side of the Yetzirah, it's so difficult for us to see clearly. Because imagine like drums beating in your ears constantly, constantly, constantly. Tonight I was like preparing for Shir and I was preparing for a few other things. And I love my kids to death, right? And they're just like, Tati, 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 hanging on me, like they're sitting, like I'm sitting at my desk and I'm like trying to learn a little bit. And it's beautiful and delicious. And I promise you, I did not scream even one time, right? Okay, I didn't yell. I did not raise my voice. I was not out of character. This is recording still, right? I need to be better. But they're good kids. They're really good kids. I'm very proud of all of them. But imagine, like, the Yetzer is like in your ears. In your ears is so difficult to concentrate. It's so difficult to see clearly. And imagine, like, carrying this, right? Like, if we can imagine, we're carrying this mar nidmalay, this like bitterness, mar, and we're confused, and we think that the bitterness is sweet and that the sweetness is bitter. And this battle is in two ways. We can look at it in two ways. That there's these two visions of this battle for good and for bad that is crouching and waiting. It's waiting under the oil nefesh of Bahamas, under this yoke of the nefesh of Bahamas that we have, this physicality that's constantly driving us. And Chuvasa, the answer, Shaloi Basichlius Yitahar Gever. The answer to all of this is not in using our intellect that we can clean up our act. I said this, Kira Efsher Lakar Basichlius. It's impossible to remove it through intellect. Barak Kasha Yorim Moisha Yodai. The Gavar Yisrael, right? When we had the war with Amalek, it was only when Moshe lifted up his hands, that's when Yisrael was able to win. What does that mean? Hainu Machama Kveda. It was a very heavy war. And it's only through Maisim of Mesiris Nefesh that we're able to be warring at all. So these evil thought, these sorry, these bad thoughts and looking at things that are aser, biyegiya atzuma, with like this strong desire, like going out of our way to look at things that are inappropriate, amifarechas, it hurts, it really can destroy the guf. V'az Hashem ish melchama, but Hashem also, he's a ish melchama, he's a man of war. Hashem is bar who am ish leichem. They said that Hashem Yisbarach is the im ish lochem. He is with the man who is warring, who is fighting. I need you to go dip into your movie Machshava for a second. If anyone has ever watched a movie about a soldier in a war, Rambo, I was a tiny mask here, but we're gonna take this. Dover Mushkis, and we're going to lift it up, right? Like he said. So we're going to take Rambo, and we're going to lift him up. He's the soldier that just lone soldier that will fight against the entire Russian army and destroy everybody with his knife and with an AK-47 that he picked up off the ground. We have to view ourselves as Rambo. We can't sit there and like learn up sugyas and be like too smart for our own good using our intellect. We have to get into that feeling when we see Rambo on the screen and it's at the end, like at the climax of the movie when he's about to like get killed, right? Before he's about to win everything, right? He's by himself and he's just facing down all the enemies. And he's just standing there looking and like ready to fight. We have to put ourselves, every one of us is that. Every one of us, not only like do we wish we could be that, right? We all are that. Because we said, we constantly keep saying, we all have a galaxy inside of us. We have so much aura, so much power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in every single one of us as part of the name. Not just Hashem gave us a power pack, a gift, right? That like we can access once in a while. We are that power. It is us. Our neshama, our chelek ha'kamimal is that, is a powerful entity, a powerful being. Put here by Hashem himself. So use those silly visions. Envision yourself. You're like at the climax. There's no hope left, and you know that the only way out is through. You're that soldier of fortune, and you gotta make sure it happens. Kol rifyon yadayim. So picture yourself as that soldier. Kol rifyon yadayim bimei neurim, achrisa miyishurena. All rifyon, all damage, and in, like, and all this, not despair, but like, yeah, all damage is in our hands. Bimei is in the hands of bimei neurim when we're young. And achrisa miyishurena. And how are we ever going to get out of it? The rabim chalolim hapila gamim bnei ter v'yira. And so many people fall. So many people fall in this area, even B'nai Torah and even Yerushalayim. And the ha'ikar, and the ikar shaloi lechana afilu im kvar avrei, that we don't subjugate ourselves, we don't fall, even though we've failed in the past. We don't let yourself down, because you are a nuclear power. You are a star. Right, a gas giant star. I'm not a scientist. That you have the energy inside you of a million suns. It's just covered up with this thin sheet of dreck, right? Is that, and I'm like, whatever it is, we're all like that. It's not, I'm not you, not I, I'm not above this. We're all there. We don't give up, even though you failed in the past. Kama pama, many times. Shekibo al atzma, you got to accept on yourself. You're going to be cobbling yourself. V'loichim b'chol kachasav, keep fighting. V'einu roya simen bracha. And even if you're not seeing any bracha, you have to keep in the fight. Because you're the soldier, man. And it's you are in the middle, right, of the ultimate fight of good and evil. You have the communists on one side that are got their guns pointed at you, and you have the entire free world behind you hanging in the balance, and you're Rambo, and you are the only person that could save the world. Hayetzahara, boyer boy, kamay esh, the Yetzahara is burning inside you like a fire, machshile pam after pam, and it destroys you pam after pam. He won. You're standing there, and you're shot, right? You're like, it's the end of the movie, right? So you got a few wounds. You got a bullet in the shoulder. You got a bullet in the stomach. There's just blood pumping. You're standing there. Right, your army uniform's all shred. You're holding a weapon in one hand. You're holding your knife in the other hand, and that's all you have left. And the bad guy's about to hit the button that's going to set off the nuclear bomb and blow up right the entire America. Right, it's you. You are there, and even though you failed, and people died, and your whole team right got left and blown up in the previous scene, you got to stay in the fight. You got to be the man in the arena. The man in the arena is the one that even when he gets hit, he stays in. He stays in. Yeah, you're going to get hit. Getting hit's the price of winning. It's the price. If you don't get hit, you didn't do anything. You didn't fight. What are you doing? If you got hit, it's like you're there. You're where you're supposed to be. V'amru rabbesein ha'kadoshim sh'olam nemar ve'arecha mispaiseses b'damayich. I saw you wallowing in your blood, right? This is also on Klal Yisrael. I saw you wallowing in your blood. I'm not even going to use the imagery of Rambo because I already gave it to you. I'm just going to let Nesiva Shalom put that imagery in your head. K'moy mi shenifza b'mochama, someone who has been pierced and injured in war, a soldier who's in war gets pierced. Remember, Rambo. Nassim Shalom used the Rambo mashal. He didn't use the name Rambo, but he's using the Rambo mashal right here as we speak. Someone who's getting stabbed and pierced in war. From all sides, there's blood pouring out of him. And if he doesn't give in to the enemy, if he stares you down with that Sylvester Stallone look, with that look on his face, I'm not even going to try to do it. I'm even going to take him down. Okay, I'm not going to do it. But that's you. You're stabbed. You got a bullet wound in your liver, and it's just pouring with blood. If you don't get to the hospital soon, you're done. Your shoulder, your leg is like trapped in the bear trap and it's shredded, right? You have one bullet left in the chamber and you got a bloody knife in the other. And you are fighting for the good, for the greater good of all. And you're not giving up. There's blood pouring out of you. When you don't give up, if you don't give up, us then, like we say by the Bris, then we could say, right, by your blood you will live. That's how we live. That's how we're alive. That's how we're alive because we're in the fight and we get the highest level brachas. That we give to the Rachanimo when he's getting his bris. Yesh mizeh nachas ruach laKadosh Baruch Hu. There's such nachas ruach laKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're sitting in your home and you never go through challenge, let's be honest. What are you doing? You got to be out there in the fight. And we're all out there. And you know what? Facebook and TikTok and all that, they figured out how to take the war into your living room, into your pocket, into your most private chadri chadarim. They figured out how to schlep it in there. So now you're not out in the jungle anymore. The war has come to the streets. They're doing guerrilla terrorism, and you got to go like the IDF. You got to go from house to house, and it's a brutal, brutal war. And but there's a, such nachas ruach when we stay in the fight. Yoyser mina avdus shel malachim. So much higher than what malachim and seraphim can do. Davka mitoich matzav kazeh. It's specifically davka in this situation. Yochel chayil. You could be that soldier. Lalois ledarga gvaya, to rise above. And kishalimroitz shenitza mam. And even though you got stabbed and pierced, even though mamshich, you continue the fight. You could cry just listening to these words, because every one of you, has this in you. You have like, again, I'm going to use another mashal from the movies, The Matrix. Right? I'm not going to go the whole red pill, blue pill. I think that's overdone. But there's a part of The Matrix where he's just a simple guy. Right, but and he needs to know how to fight. So they plug him into the computer and they like download Kung Fu into his brain. And now he could be a Kung Fu master. Wow. Right. We all that's like the ultimate dream, right? Bypass all the hard work and then just get the joy of like being a Kung Fu master. So that's actually, I think, one of the most horrible sides of the Matrix. I don't like using the Matrix as a positive mashal because of some of these issues that the Matrix has. We could talk about it at a different time. Maybe we'll do like a whole a shiur, like redeeming the nitzaitzis of Kedusha that we lost in all the movies we watched in our lives. Maybe one day. Send Jake a comment. I'm sure Jake is gonna love this. We're going a little overtime. I hope you don't mind because I gotta get this out because this is so important. If you want to do another separate shiur on like redeeming the nitzaitzis of movies, let Jake know and you'll make his day. Right, Jake? But so he downloads all the Kung Fu. It's so sad because like he never worked on it on himself. And like there's like a value in like learning a skill, whether it's Kung Fu or writing or learning Torah, whatever it is, right? And you try to skip all that. But here I want to do a reverse matrix. You know Kung Fu already because you've trained in it in Gilgal after Gilgal after Gilgal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the koyach to do it. It's you don't remember it, and you put layers on top of yourself. And you distract yourself. It's like, oh, life is so meaningless. I can't make my bills. I can't really learn that well. It's really, really hard and boring. Look at that guy's driving a nice car. Look at that guy's giving a cool shiur. I'm just like a whatever. It's like, no, you don't need to download Kung Fu because you already learned Kung Fu. It's in there. The spiritual Kung Fu is in there. You could do those backflips. You know, Kung Fu Panda is actually a better movie series about this concept than The Matrix. Don't get me started with the movies. See, it's a problem. But Nassim Shalom started with the movies. He started bringing Rambo. He himself was quoting Rambo. You're the last man standing. Blood's pouring out of you, and you all have the koyach. You all have the Rambo skills inside of you, every single one of you. We just got to remember, discover it. It's not a process of learning, it's a process of discovering. And Masha Enkein, to continue. Sorry, guys, but let's see if we get to another paragraph. Masha Enkein, be made shalom, but during times of peace, raise a dove another, shial medarga. It's like, it's really hard to rise in levels because you're not really working. Everything's calm. You know, when does muscle get built? When you're in the gym lifting weights and just tearing the muscles and then they heal back. If you're just living a loosey goose, it's chill. It's just a vibe, man. We're just gonna chill, right? I'm gonna learn, but like I'm not really gonna stretch myself a little bit. That's why remember our tactic to like deal with Gambris was to learn 5 hours. And really what we learned, the real Nakuda was learn more than you normal. Right, but learn more than you normally did. It's the same thing like the gym.
It's getting to a point where, yes.
Everyone's got their level, right? But if I go to the gym and I lift 5 pounds every single day and I never raise the level of weights, you're doing nothing.
Right.
You're doing nothing. So if I'm just learning my regular thing every day and I'm not standing outside of my comfort zone, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're going to get scar for the learning. I'm not taking that away from you. But you're not moving. You're not growing.
Right.
The worst thing for a person is that he is the same person today that he was yesterday. Even if we just move the needle by 1%. And that's what someone said, like move the needle 1% every day. At the end of the year, you've grown 365%. So move the needle, because when you're in the calm state, nothing happens. Umaran Admar, the base Avram, the Admar of the base Avram, because you're going to say, Maimar Chazal, he said, a Chazal in Medrash Rabbah. I did get some comments that I needed like, quote my sources better, but I'm working off the Tzitzit Shalom, so he doesn't have sources for everything. But I will do better to try to quote the sources. Tavi mavi tikanach tsoyas v'na. The mother is going to come and is going to clean the tsoya of her child. The hina nifka b'mechama, that when we get into this mechama, hare yemis akev lichboish. Hare im yis akev. If you're holding yourself back, lichboish, from fighting, right? Pitzav, and you're getting stabbed. You're gonna bring more death upon you. You're gonna die essentially if you give up the fight. And it's only after you reach a place betuach mitipana lichboish es pitzav. It's only after, like, but it's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. It's only later, lamakim batuach, that you get to a secure location, right? Mitipana lichbosh es pesav, you're able to, like, you stop getting stabbed. And that's when you can, like, start to heal and get better. Watch kasa b'nei hanurim, like it's written, but b'nei hanurim, when you're a child, tzarech luchon b'li harif. You got a war, you got a fight. With no, not letting up in every second, every moment. But only then when the mother comes after the fight, imnikris mida habina, which is when you get older, right? Imai is connected to the mida of bina. Bina is when you're older, when you turn 40. But again, our generation, I think the ages are a little bit skewed because we're so delayed. We're so delayed from like the pressures of the world. So I wonder, I don't know, I'm not giving psak and chassidus right now. I wonder if the ages get a little delayed, but when you get older and you have a place where you can really process the war you're in, that's v'hu ben arbam labina, right? That's when you turn 40. Shiyah ben arbam resichas adam nacha, when you turn 40 and the boiling blood starts to calm down. And the reason why I say I think our ages are skewed is because I know people that are over 40 and the blood did not calm down. So I think they're like in a cottonous state. So their body is still running on the same childish algorithms, and they never really get to that point. And, and there's things that they need to do. Maybe we'll talk about it here. So, but when they get to the place of 40, then that state of being ima, which is connected to the mida of bina, is able to start to clean up all that stuff. So essentially, it's like this: your Rambo's in the war; he's losing, he's dying. But you got to stay in it. And if you stay in it long enough, you'll get to a point where the reinforcements are going to come and take you away. And then you'll be able to process the battle and grow and learn from it. And like when you're young, it's just going to rage in you. But essentially, what he's saying is you have no choice. Sorry, guys. If anyone here is young and a young age and they're boiling, there is no cure. There's no cure. But Boker Tov, you're normal. You're a normal person. You're a normal person. And we take it up a gum and maver. And then when you're older, you'll be able to start fixing it. Ikra klal b'mechama, the ikra rule in war. Shemish chas al kvoidei shel melech. So one who's careful about the honor of the king, he's fighting for the greater good. He's a soldier fighting the greater good. Lo yichna lo ayev. He's never going to give up. See, the soldier who's really fighting with a mission, he is willing to die. And he will do whatever he can. He's not going to just kill himself. He's not going to throw himself on the sword. He's going to use all his koiches to fight and stay in the fight. There's no question in his mind whether I'm going to win or whether I'm going to lose. He's never giving up to the enemy. I'm not going to let you take me prisoner. I'm going to fight till the last breath. If my gun jams and all I have is a bullet in my hand, I'm going to throw it at you. And because I'm so fighting for the honor of the king of Hashem, that bullet will pierce all of you. Like that scene where he shoots one bullet and it goes through all the guys. Yeah. Right. So David HaMelech and Goliath. You think David HaMelech for a second thought that like this stone's really going to do anything? But he's like, I am doing my hashtadlus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs me to fight. Everyone else is being babies right now. Or whatever the cheshbonis are, all I have is a rock. That's all I have. All I have is stones. I'm a little kid. That's all I got. I don't care whether I win, I don't win, whatever it is. It's the kvod of the melech. And I'm going to stay in the fight. And truth be told, you don't have another choice. You're out there. The soldiers are surrounding you. What are you going to do? You just give up? You're going to give up and let them destroy the honor of the king? The yod of lamus mavas kibayim, and it's better. And you know what? To you guys who are under 40 and you feel like you're dying, and but remember, you're Rambo. Sometimes it's better to die the death of a gibor, and then milipul b'shevi, then from falling into captivity. And then falling and giving up to the enemy. Like, the certain, again, we're quoting movies all the time now because I think we're going to use these mashalim because we're going to squeeze out every drop of kedusha. We're going to squeeze out of all the things we've done. And it's not going to stop at movies. Today, we're talking about movies. We're going to look into our past, all the things we've done. We're going to squeeze out the Nitzitzis kedusha, and we're going to take that Nitzitz of kedusha, that spark, and we're going to just raise it and give it as a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every mistake we've ever made. That's what it means when we do tshuva mehava. This is what it means. When tshuva meyira doesn't turn your averus into mitzvahs. You need to do it. It starts with yira. You do tshuva meyira to like just recognize that you went off the deep end. But then we go to tshuva mehava. Tshuva mehava means that you don't care about winning or losing anymore. You're in the fight and you're fighting for the king, and nothing else matters. Win, lose, I don't know. I don't care. I have a knife on me, and I'm gonna go against 1,000 people. That's how the Maccabees, the Hashmonaim won, right? Rabban b'Yamiatim. This is how every single tzaddik in Klal Yisrael lived, especially during the worst times of our history. We did not give up the fight. That's in every single one of you. That blood is pouring and shooting through those veins. So yes, you're under 40 years old and your blood's boiling and you fell and you looked at things you shouldn't and you were looking at websites and you were Isaac and Moitzi Zer Levatala and you maybe some Chas V'Shalom, no one here, but maybe someone will listen to this and they've actually were in illicit relationships with other people in a way that wasn't kosher. But you still have the blood. You still have the blood of a yid coursing through your veins and your neshama still bright like 10 million suns burning with a desire. And yeah, you might feel like you're dying. And maybe it's good to die the death of a warrior and stay, get back in the fight, get back up again, get back up again. This is the concept of hashlama im hamatzav, being whole in a situation where there's no way to succeed. Kumash Amar Maran Mikubrin, the Rebbe from Mikubrin, Shagarua, but yes, it's so much less if you're whole, that if you were left, if you were kind of like something remains like you have now, meaning if you left something on the table. I think this is what this means. It could be I'm not reading this right, so I'm gonna have to chazal this. But like if you leave energy on the table, it's like I could have put in a little extra fight. There's a little bit of missing from that battle. You got to put all, you can't leave anything on the table, all your energy, just let it out. And we all have that. We are all Rambo. We have the Kung Fu downloaded in. Not because it was quickly downloaded, it's because that's who we are. It's our essence. We trained in all our Gilgulim. We came from the Kisei HaKavod. We have Kedusha pouring through every single piece of us. All of you. It's such an honor and a privilege, and I don't deserve to be the person here talking to you, because you are all such nuclear reactors of Kedusha and Halakhite, and you are all in the fight. You are all in the fight. Don't give up. Don't give up. The point is not to win. The point is to get to a point that Ima is going to come, that Mama is going to come and clean up your wounds, right? But you got to stay in the arena, man. Don't give up. Don't give up. Have a good one, guys. Have a good one.